Hello, today is Thursday, December 4th, 2025, and this is Week in Charts. I'm sure we thank all you guys and gals for attending today. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. There's always a problem, but there were some issues with the link on logging in. The manufacturer has been contacted on that. It's always something whenever they upgrade crap. But anyway, dailylearner.com/webinars usually where to find this, but if you can't find it, let me know and I'll give you the direct link, and hopefully by the time you see this, if you watch a recording, I'll have a new link put up if they haven't fixed it yet. But anyway, we're gonna talk about current market conditions. Obviously, as usual, I have a lot to say about that. Your favorite stock and crypto picks, feel free to punch them in now. If it's crypto, put USD or USDT, whatever the case may be, after it, so I know it's not an individual stock. I want to continue to talk about the methodology in action. As I said quite a bit, the show me part is very important when it comes to trading, and I'll flesh that out in a little more detail. And I want to talk about the year review and so far. And it was I underestimated the amount of work it would take to put together such an undertaking with all the animation and all, which is typical for me. So we're going to start this week, and then toward the end of the year, I'll revisit that. But there's a lot of things that we could glean, so to speak, from what's happened so far, what I have so far. Anyway, Q&A, have any questions, type of it as we go. Thank you, Charles. There's all my contact information. I'll bring that up again in a little more detail. Feel free to take a screenshot. There's a disclaimer screen. As you know, you could lose money trading, or as I'll have to sum it up, all predictions are about the future. And a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. And if you trade for more than one day, you understand that. Here's my contact information again. You can also reach me at dave@davelearner.com. All right. As I alluded to a second ago, and as I've been saying ad nauseum over the past several weeks, the missing piece for me when it came to trading early on was actually seeing someone make trades. You got a lot of gurus out there claim they do all these wonderful things. But do they show you ahead of time? Do they tell you what their methodology is ahead of time? Do they show you that they're following the methodology, and so on and so forth? And I was very blessed, and I don't know if I willed it to happen or intention or whatever the case may be, but I do believe that if you're positive about all these things, it will happen. As Mr. Wright once said, I was going to be a pessimist, but I figured it wouldn't work out, and that's true. Anyway. The missing piece for me was actually seeing traders do this, and I was very fortunate early on to do programming and research and actually help traders out and help traders find stocks and then watch them trade, and boy, that was huge for me, and I want to give back and do that, and I'm not altruistic. Obviously, I do make some money in my consulting and educational business, but I do want to provide that missing piece, and it's vitally important. I can't stress how important it is. Anyway, so what I want to do today, and then maybe follow up toward the end of the year or early next year, is talk about a little bit of the year review and what went right and what went wrong. And overall, I'd probably give myself a B+. You could always do better. But anyway, we came into the year with one position left over, and that was Grab. And we had a 12% loss, or 1280 as far as on the model portfolio of 100K. Now, a few days into the year, went long NDIS. And then a few days after that, we got stopped out of the Grab. And that was an 18% loss on the stock itself, or $2,000, or 2% on the model portfolio, which is 100K. Now, I do actually take all of these trades I recommended. There's a case or two where I applied a little discretion, which cuts both ways, by the way. I missed one winning trade because of discretion, and I missed one big loser because of discretion, and that just comes to mind. But overall, longer term, this is something I want to flesh out in more detail later, maybe in the next presentation, but longer term, discretion will really pay off. Over the short term, not so much. Anyway, we eventually got stopped out, as you eventually do, of the NBIS for a better than the Polkadot trade We made 28% of the first loaf, or 1% on the model account, because we're looking for a 1% gain to take half of those profits off, 1% overall on 100K to make the math easy. That's $1,000. And then we got stopped for 0% on the remainder. It's better than poke in the eye. Setting yourself up, as I preach, for these partial profits and being able to take those partial profits. And if you get stopped out at a scratch, and that's the worst that ever happens to you, you would own the world pretty quickly. And if that's the worst that ever happened to me, you'd never see my fat ass again. But it does set you up for some longer term winners, as we'll get to in just 1 second. Now, here we went long KGS, and unfortunately, we got stopped out a little less than a month later for a 14% loss, or 1844. So it did move a little in our favor. So we were able to move that stop up a little bit. We didn't get quite, quote unquote, a full loss on that position, but it was a loss nonetheless. Now we go long ALLT, and that fails miserably too. Now, what can we glean from this? It's like, well, hang on there, Dave. This market has gone nowhere for a couple of months. We had two setups which were viable at the time that looked decent, and both of them did not work out. So now at this juncture, we notice that the market, we being me, has gone into a pretty serious slide. Okay, we went sideways and then we went to a serious slide. Now, the other thing you should notice here is this is 1, 2, and we're going into the third month of trading, and we only had three setups total in 2 months of trading. Okay, so when the market started going sideways and getting choppy, the database is producing fewer and fewer setups. A lot of the time for those first couple of months of the year, we're sitting on our hands. Now, we came out of the gate, and of course, we got stopped out of one, but we went long one, and we're rewarded fairly quickly within a few weeks with a decent profit, okay? And then the next two trades turned into losers. Shit happens, right? It all comes with the territory. But the market began to roll over, and you know what? We're trend following morons, and we play both sides of the market. And the beauty of that, as I preach, is not so much you're going to get rich on the short side, although we made a little money, better than a poke in the eye, but it helps you to see both sides of the market. As I've said, ad nauseum, my friends run millions and millions of dollars, and by charter, they're long only oriented. It's always glass half full as opposed to glass half empty when things get a little iffy, okay? But we will short, and the beauty of shorting, again, is it helps you to see both sides of the market. So we went short JBL, also with CCL first, then we went short JBL, and then we went short TPR, okay? So what is the market doing? The market is going down. What are we doing? We're shorting, okay? What did we do when the market was going sideways? Not a lot. Two positions in 2 months, okay? That's 40-something days, trading days, okay? 41, 42 trading days. And we had two positions, okay, that we put on. And actually three. One worked, one did, and two didn't. Okay, so that's only three positions over a couple of months, which is not a lot of activity. And that's why I have a hard time keeping clients, is because they want action. Now, keep in mind, I'm going through the official recommendations here before I go too much further, but I like to see the services more than just a tip sheet. Okay, so these are kind of like the tips, so to speak. There's a lot more to it. There's the color commentary on the overall market, which goes into a lot more depth, obviously, than the market in a minute. And then there's also the Landry list, which is a list of stocks that I personally will look at to trade in addition to the official quote unquote recommendations. And I get a lot of accolades from the more trader types, the more experienced types for that Landry list, because that becomes their call list too. Anyway, getting back to the market. So we had a market that was rolling over, looking pretty ugly. I think there was a 20% drop overall in the market, which the media calls a bear market. So technically, by that metric, we did have a bear market earlier this year, believe it or not. We ended up shorting three stocks. Now, just to remind you, these were where the three stocks were shorted in March. And we got knocked out of JBL for a small profit. And we made an okay gain on the first loaf, 12.5% of the first loaf, which is where we're taking those partial profits. We're looking for $1,000. Ended up with 983. This is based on the mechanical portfolio, okay? Your mileage may vary. My mileage may vary a little bit. In some cases, with discretion, I'm trying to squeeze out, a little bit more than $1,000 or 1% on the account, depending on how big the account size is. On the first loaf, when possible, let's say it hits the IPT and it keeps going intraday. Well, I might put in a trailing stop and trail it up intraday. Or the flip side, let's say it gets really close to the IPT, comes back in, does that a few times, either intraday one day or over a period of days or whatever, I might lock and load just a little bit early on that IPT. So I might get 850 to, let's say, 950 or somewhere in that number. Profits, or 8/10 to 9/10 or 9.5/10 of a percent of the overall portfolio, depending on what account I'm trading, as opposed to the full 1%. The real money's in the second loaf, okay? And so far in this year of 2025, we haven't seen that second loaf take off. Now, AGI was a long that triggered in April. And TPR stopped out here, okay, on that day for 14% gain for the first loaf, or 1% on the portfolio, and then a little tiny gain on the remainder, 1.226% or 0.9/10 of a percent of the overall count. So it's another one of those better than the poking eye trades. Now, TFPM we opened up way back in May, so that's May, June, July, August, September, October, November. So we're still in this trade for 7 months. That's the ultimate goal. And that's why a lot of people have a hard time following the trend. Now, trend following is the only way to make a lot of money in the markets. It's the only way to make any money in the market, if you think about it, because once you get in a trade, in order for that trade to profit, you have to capture a trend. So my mantra is, why not be a trend follower all the time? But the reason people have a hard time following a methodology like this is because they tend to pick and choose, or as Greg Moore says, they tend to sharpshoot the signals. When I'm going, I had no idea in a million years that we would be in gold for 7 months or longer, okay? When we got long, it usually is hard to hang on to a commodity type of stock like that. Those stocks turned into like momentum stocks and persisted, which is odd for those type of stocks. But going into every trade, I hope I'm going to be in it 10 years. I know, hope in one hand and the rest. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying earlier, the reason that a lot of people have trouble following a trade following methodology is, one, they sharpshoot signals. Two, they micromanage themselves out of their position. So as we'll see in 1 second, I'm kind of going to rehash a little bit some of last time's presentation where I talked about open profit drawdowns, and that just comes with the territory. And a lot of people can't stomach that, and they get out early. Well, the way we help to stomach that is by taking that partial profit. So at least you've got that 1% or $1,000 per 100K in your pockets, and you're giving up open losses. So even if you get stopped out on a net basis, you're doing pretty darn good. So the CCL stopped out again, short side, not going to get rich on the short side, okay? It's a tough way to trade. Now, every now and then you might catch one that goes to zero without sharp retraces, but I doubt it, okay? You just have these huge, sharp retraces. And then look at what the market itself did. The market had this V-shaped recovery. By the way, as I say quite often, I learned this from Greg Morris, market tops are usually a process And market bottoms are usually an event. Now, there's exceptions to the norm. I think 2007, 2008 bottom, what was that? Or 2002, 2003, I get them mixed up. But one of them was more of a process type of bottom, which took a long time, okay? And yeah, market can crash, but usually when a market crashes, the top had been in place for a long, long, long time. Now, don't quote me on this, but I think if you go back and look at 1987, I know we got a sell signal in the TFM 10% system on the Friday before the crash. But if you go back and look at 1987, the market went sideways. It was kind of rolling over for a long, long, long time and had lost 10% of its value from the top. Everybody focuses on the big crash days, like, oh my God, the market's coming unglued. But even go back and look at 2025, we chopped along, just kind of making this gradual top, and then the slide began to accelerate a little bit. But anyway, so that's a big open trade, knock on wood. And then the KGC, which triggered back in May, okay, so another 6 or 7 months there, is still an open trade. And at the time of the snapshot, it might be slightly less now, but at the time of the snapshot, easy for me to say, we were up 85% or $6,870 per 100K, 6.8% on the account. That's a pretty big, substantial move. If just one stock, you make almost 7%. And then if you look down there, that's another 4% in another stock. So that's like 11% gains in just a couple of stocks. Now, you miss those two stocks, and then it gets a little harder, okay, to make money. And even those shorts add up. You have one, two, three shorts that were all profitable, and it's like 1.3%, 1.1%, 1.3% round numbers. That helps to keep the lights on, and it helps you to have a decent year. It helps you to stay in the game to be able to trade more stocks in the future when the opportunity presents itself. Anyway, went long Katos at the end of June. Now, Katos was, again, we went long into June. Went long BTM there, VG there. BTM failed miserably, but overall, it was a 2% loss on the entire portfolio. So we can live with that. And you can see it stopped out there. VG also did not work, okay? That was a 30% loss or a 1.9% loss on the entire portfolio. Now, we went long TGen here, ABCL here, SLDP here on the same day as ABCL. Now, SLDP worked out. It was a little bit better than the poke in the eye type of trade. 26% of first loaf, 10% of the second. $1,000, $400. So 1.4% again, or 1.4% on the 100K or whatever your account size is on that. The TGen actually worked out okay too, but it was another way better than the poke in the eye thing. So hopefully you're beginning to see a little bit of theme here, okay? You lose on a trade, you have a better than the poke in the eye, you make some money, you make a little money, make some money on the first loaf, make a little second loaf. You do that a few times, okay? And so this is kind of playing the game, okay? You're in, making a little money, lose a little money, make a little money, lose a little money. Who was it? Brian Gelber once said, I think that's his name, 3 months out of the year, you can't sleep because you're making money, losing money, and you're trying to figure out if you're ever going to make any real money. 3 months out of the year, you're cold, okay? You can't make money. You can't hit the side of the barn from inside the barn. And then the rest of the 6 months, you grind it out. Well, I think 3 months you print money, 3 months you lose money. And then the other 6 months, which is more the reality, is you grind it out, make a little, lose a little, make a little, lose a little, wondering if you're ever going to get anywhere in this business. And that's just what comes with the territory. And it never gets easy, okay? It gets easier, don't get me wrong, but it never gets easy. And by the way, when it does feel easy, I'm gonna one of my clients, we talk fairly often. We both kind of see it in each other. It's kind of like, you're a little too excited about how great you've been. You know, usually your ass gets handed to you the next day on that. Anyway, ATII was long in the middle of September. RZLV, another long. Now, RZLV failed miserably just a few days later. That trade just flat out sucked. It was a good-looking stock going in. And it's probably something I should do in follow-up presentations is just recap all these. But I think for most of 2025, I did go through all these stocks as mystery charts and follow up on mystery charts. Cypher was another trade that triggered in early October, KYTX. And then there was NUAI. Now, the Cato stopped out in October for 60% gain on the first loaf and 106% gain on the second loaf. Okay, so that's $1,000, which is 1% of your account, and then an additional 58.57. So almost 7% of your account was made, or gains on your account were just one trade. So that's what we're living for. Okay, make a little, lose a little, make a little, lose a little, bam, knock it out the park. That is a good trade. That's what we live for. Now let's count the months. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, almost 4 months, almost exactly 4 months. People are like, Dave, I'm not a day trader. I don't need your service. Well, I'm not a day trader either. Although I do a little day trading, probably too much. I do find, not to get sidetracked, imagine that, but I do find that if I really, really, really wait, and I don't want to say it's like the Jimmy Rogers thing because it's almost impossible, right? But Jimmy Rogers once said, all he does is wait until there's money lying in the corner, and then all he does is walk over and pick it up. If I let the market come to me, I could see it. It's like, okay, well, these ETFs are headed higher. Let me just grab a piece of them. Or it might be something in a Landry 100. It could be like a Russian doll type of setup. Ogre sometimes can really pay off. But I find that less is more. The less I day trade, or as I like to try to call it, intraday trade, the better I do, because I'm waiting for things to happen. Now, this is a thought that was in my head right before it went live. The problem with all this, okay, notice that, again, I'm kind of pointing out that I'm really not recommending that many trades, especially when the market's choppy. The market starts performing well. People are like, Dave, I can't keep up. It's like, well, it's not going to be that bad. But in the choppy markets, I'm not recommending a whole lot of action. The only way to make money in the markets is to trade, okay? When you're sitting on your hands, you're not making any money. But the missing piece is, especially if you're doing a trading, is you're not losing any money either. Now, you're under pressure. You're always in the pressure for money, okay? 2 days ago, freak accident, thrown the ball at my dog, and she disappears. I was trying to wear her out so she'd leave me alone during the day, and she disappears. Well, she does that sometimes. She kind of senses that the game's coming to an end, you know, and she knows we take the ball away from her and stick her back in the house. Anyway, so she disappeared. I thought nothing of it. I came to work. Well, a little while later, she's laying in the yard being quiet, which is odd for her, and I go to see what's going on. She begins to wince. She had a piece of metal that she slid into a little, gas company was out a few months back, and they marked some gas lines for some construction or whatever. And those little metal flags, a little metal was left over in the yard. I guess the lawnmower picked it up or something, threw it around a little. And somehow you couldn't have done it if you tried. It slid right through all three of her paw pads, you know? And so, woke up the wife, we dragged the dog to have surgery, right? That's an unexpected expense, okay? You know, do I try to trade to make up for the money? You know, where's the checking account right now? You know, so something stupid like that is just more pressure to try to make money. And the market, and Jesse Livermore said this 100 something years ago, the market is not going to provide you a paycheck, especially if you want it. Longer term, though, as you can see, chip away, chip away, chip away, chip away. Again, bam, you catch these big winners. So Kitex stops out here. And here's the other thing to look at, too. So it was 25% gain. You made 0% on the second loaf. $1,000 and change. You made a little bit better because probably a gap, I'm guessing, in this particular situation. I'll have to see what I did. I might have trailed a stop higher on this one. I know on a few of them I did intraday. But anyway, the other thing that I wanted to point out on some of these better than the poke in the eye trades is you were in this trade for a few weeks and you returned 1% overall on your account. So annualize that, and that's huge. And I know that's fuzzy math, but that's the beauty of the swing trade with the money management. Pure swing trading is not going to cut it. I can almost guarantee that. Pure short-term trading does not work because occasionally you get whacked and then you got to climb out of the hole. You need a big occasional home run, and that's what makes this so tough. But I think this hybrid approach is the best way to make it work. In fact, I know that, and I'll defend it to my death, okay? But these shorter-term trades, because you do have that potential longer-term aspect out there, can help to keep the lights on. And if you get a bunch of better than the poke in the eye trades over a very short period of time, annualized, that's huge. For instance, look at this. I'm just looking in hindsight, this SLDP, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So that's a little bit more than 2 weeks. And you ended up with 1.4% overall on your portfolio. If you did that every 2 weeks, I know it's fuzzy math, but if you did that every 2 weeks, that's 25% gain on your entire portfolio for the year, right? I know it's fuzzy math, but it does cut both ways, okay? So if you do have big losses over a short period of time and you keep having big losses, well, that's going to add up, believe me. And sometimes I think it's important to keep that in mind. So the cipher triggered here, and again, another better than the poke in the eye trade, roughly 1 month, 28% in the first loaf, 11% in the second round numbers, 1.4% round numbers on the entire portfolio. Well, that's in 1 month. That's still not bad. That's 20-something percent a year, okay? Better than the poke in the eye, again. But we just keep chipping away at it, waiting for that big winner to come along. And by the way, you never know when it's going to come along. And whenever the market's choppy, I lose a bunch of clients because they're like, well, I don't need you to tell me not to do anything. It's like, okay, well, maybe you do. Or are you going to go out and do something when you shouldn't do anything? How do you know when to stop doing that? The second thing is, you never know when the next big winner is going to come along. And I don't feel like doing my homework when the market's choppy. But from a selfish standpoint, that's one reason why I'm probably going to keep the service running for a long time, is it forces me to do my homework. And every now and then, even in the ugliest of conditions, I find something worthwhile. And I've had so many clients, I've told stories over and over again, that just like, Dave, I'm going to take a break for a while. I'm going to stay on the service, but I'm just going to take a little time off because this market is going nowhere fast. And then the next day, I'll have two of the biggest winners, will turn out to be two of the biggest winners for the year. I know I'm beating a dead horse and all this, but anyway, this ATAI stopped out right at the end of October. And again, 28%, 8%, 1.3% overall, rounding up a little, obviously. That's, again, better than the poke in the eye, and that's a pretty decent annualized return. I know, it's fuzzy math. Now, this ABCL, this need to be moved later, but ABCL right here. Oh, no, that's right. So this ABCL was still open. I did all these on one chart, and it was like this, and you couldn't see it, but it, and it made it look like it was a whole bunch of trading. It's really not that many trades if you think about it, okay? Sit around, you know, count some of the days in between these trades, and it's weeks and sometimes a month or longer where you're sitting on your hands. And that's where people that crave action, they go off somewhere else with somebody that say, oh, we can make money every day. It's like, no, you don't, Danny. Anyway, so that stopped out on November 4th, 17%, 6%. Another one was better than the poke in the eye trades, okay? That's a lot of winning trades, though, by the way. Look at all the green on this chart. Yeah, that's some red mixed in, but that's not too bad as long as, of course, you catch that occasional home run like the K-Test, okay? That was a defense stock. I didn't say, oh, things are crazy around the world. We're going to be blowing a bunch of stuff up. I better buy some defense stocks. I was like, no. I was like, defense stocks are going up. They've pulled back. They look good. I like this Kaitos, and we probably got long a few other ones. But Cato sticks out, okay? And I didn't know we'd be in it 3 months later when we went in. Now, this high was one I do recommend. I do remember, because that was an opening gap reversal. And on that one, the close, like imagine this is the close, okay? This is the high, this is the close. So it closed here, and the entry was here for the next day. You got to be really careful. And as I've said before, and this is some Larry Connors research, when a market closes strongly, there's a high probability it's going to follow through the following day, but there's no statistical evidence that it will continue to follow through. So he had a short-term system that would buy in the close, which scares the bejesus out of me, and that's that short-term trading that could be kind of dangerous, okay? But there is a slight edge there that could be used, okay? And in that edge, it's like, okay, well, Larry says there's a high probability of follow through on the open, but nothing after that. So it's like, aha, what does that sound like? An opening gap reversal. So, and I don't want to pour salt in anyone's wounds, but I've been preaching discretion for years and years. If you're a little bit more advanced and you know the methodology, you're not brand new to it, then by all means, I really would recommend you use a little bit of discretion in your trading and not follow things mechanically. Now, every now and then, like I missed the NRGV trade because I used a little discretion on the entry and missed the trade. So every now and then you have to be willing to, which is life and trading, make that decision and live with it. Anyway, so the high failed miserably based on the mechanical portfolio stopping out on November 12th. Now, NUAI, decent trade, kind of a better than the poke in the eye type of trade. 43% of the first low, 59% in the second. Now, the reason those numbers are so high is because that was a volatile stock that required a very wide berth, but you compensate by trading fewer shares. Read Better the Devil You Know on my website, DaveLerner.com. You can search that article. And that explains volatility and how trading more volatile stocks within reason can actually be less risky than trading more stodgy type of companies. Okay. The reason is, just in a nutshell there, is if you're trading a stock that doesn't move around as much, you're going to have to put on more shares. And from a margin standpoint, you have on more and more risk. Whereas a more volatile stock, you're going to put on less shares. I do all the math in the article, so check that out. But anyway, decent little gain on that. Again, better than a poke in the eye, okay? Actually, much better than a poke in the eye, because you made $1,300 on the second low. That's per 100K. So that's 1.3% of your overall account. So you made 2.3% on this one trade, and that's pretty darn good. And when did that stop out? Stopped at 11:14. So that's a little bit more than a month, 2.3%. It's not a bad return. Now, NRGV triggered on this day here, 26.67% and 0%. Another better than a poke in the eye trade. Chip away at it, chip away at it, chip away at it. Bam. Easy, huh? Now, that was 2 days later. This was one that went straight up and came right back in. I love them when they go straight up. Don't get me wrong. I think this one triggered and hit the IPT on the same day and stopped out 2 days later. That's okay. All right. If that happens every now and then, that's okay. Making 1% in 2 days, what's the annualization on that? Okay. That's ridiculous, right? Even ludicrous would say that's ludicrous. So that was a decent trade there. So that's where we are so far. Got a couple open trades. We'll take a look at those in 1 second. Any questions on this? Okay. We're going to see your trade alerts in the member area as a Facebook group. I'm a member of your core trading service. DaveLerner.com/core-trade. trading desk service. So if you talk about these archives, the archives, which I actually used for this presentation, was DaveLeonard.com/archives. If you want to, if you're not on the trading service and you want to see the more recent services, the archives are updated about once a month. When I get too many archives on the core trading service page, DaveLeonard.com/core-trading-service. When I get too many archives on the core trading service, I move them over to the archives and then I start over. For my international clients, if English isn't your first language, I put the services up on YouTube and I share them privately with my international clients so they can translate it. And I have the feedback that I've gotten from that, even with my bad Kunas speak, is actually pretty good. The AI there is pretty good. I had another video provider that wanted to charge me a fortune to do the AI, and it was brought to my attention that YouTube does it really, really well for free. And so that's what I've been using. There's a limit to how many you can have, but we're nowhere near that limit. So if you're an international client, the numbers just is universal language, obviously, where to get in, where to put your stop, how to trade your stop, et cetera. But I realize there's some things that would be lost without translation. But the good news is it's pretty impressive when you look at what it's actually doing. Anyway, so let me know if you're not seeing anything that you need, and I'll be happy to help you out. All right, we have a new mystery chart this week. So the mystery charts come straight from the trading service. I'd say 99.9% of them. I'm not sure that I had it didn't come to trading service. So what I do here is this is stock I recommended to buy today, okay? And it has not triggered yet. So there's still time. Anyway, you can see we had lots of Landrolite. Landrolite is just the lows greater than the moving average, for those who don't know what that is. And notice that this histogram goes up. This was by accident. We started putting it as a histogram when I had it programmed for MetaStock years ago, which it's free in MetaStock, by the way. They put it in as a histogram, and I got to playing with it, and I was like, well, that's really cool. Now, just real quick, and I know I say this every week, but it does not measure magnitude, okay? That's not the idea. The idea is for me to know by glancing at this chart that we had 50-something days where the lows did not touch that moving average. That is very impressive. It's a 30-day EMA is what I use for this, which has become my favorite moving average. I know you want to party with me. Anyway, Landrolite, you're just looking for 10 to 20 bars or Landrolite pullback of Landrolite followed by a pullback to the moving average. Okay, Landrolite goes to zero when you touch the moving average. Okay, and if today we hold above the moving average, the low that is, the Landrolite resets to one. The other thing you need to do is look at the chart. Okay, now this is a biotechnology stock, little hint there. Take a look at IBB, which we'll do in a few minutes. IBB is going pretty much straight up for a long time. It has been defying gravity. It didn't care about, it's like a honey badger, man. Honey badger don't care about the market slide. Honey badger market, right? Anyway, so you can see lots of Landrolite, but always look at the chart. Notice that the trend has accelerated higher, which if you draw a curve line in there, it's a little bit more obvious, okay? And then, of course, we have a nice little correction down to the moving average. Now, I call that this move here is a TKO. The whole thing is just a pullback. Keep in mind that a TKO is just a form of pullback. Okay? So, again, Landrolite goes to zero. And if you squint your eyes down here, it's a zero. And then maybe after today, it'll go back to one. There's all parameters down below. This is the open portfolio. All we have is the TFPM and the KGC still open. So we'll see what happens, okay? 50% gain and 85% gain in the leftover shares respectively. Let's see if we can keep that keeping on, you know? Let's see where we are. Maybe next year I'm doing a year in review. I'm gonna say, remember TFPM from way back in 2025 and KGC? Who knows? It could happen. I think we had one that we stayed in a few years. And one of my clients was still in it. Jeff, you in here? Are you still in the, what was that stock? ARLP? Coal stock of all things. Went up like 500%. Anyway, entry's there. Stop is there. Initial profit target is up here. It's kind of a TKO within a pullback. It's also a Landry-like pullback. All my patterns, or 90% of my patterns, with the exception of possibly the buy at B and like the market timing, which is a little bit different, or pullback related. Okay, last week we talked a little bit about living, or 2 weeks ago, living through open profit drawdowns. So this was the TFPM, and you can see reoccurring pattern, pulls back to moving average, entry stop, initial profit target. Now this thing failed miserably initially, and I did tons and tons of presentations on that, on dead money. But it did manage to bang off the IPT. We brought the stop up to break even. And then we trail that stop loosely on the remainder, always going toward price and never away, but we let it widen out a lot of times by not doing anything, okay? When the market makes a small gain, or by not trailing on quite a one-for-one basis. If the stock rallies 3 points, we might only bring the stock up 2 points, stop up 2 points, okay? And I call that gaining ground. The other one's called keep the change. If it goes just a little bit, we let it widen out naturally by not doing anything. Keep in mind, we're not moving that stop away from the market. We're letting the market move away from the stop. Ooh, write that down. Anyway, this last little slide there was a 2410 per 100K, right? So that's 2.4%. Ouch, that hurts. But fortunately, knock on wood, it's come back nicely for a 27.67 gain from that. So at least at the high, you were 300 points, $300 ahead of where you were based on a 100K account, of course. Now, I've got another one in here, I think, left over where I show each little zig and zag. And these little zig and zags in here are somewhat substantial, okay, especially when you're riding them out. And again, that's the hard part to do, okay? As I've said before, it's hard. When something gets close to a stop, you're like, ah, epic, you know, I'll just get out. I called my dad. We shorted Dell at, I want to say somewhere, I forget where we shorted it, but our stop was at 55, not a hard stop. It got to 54.78 and traded an eights back then. And I just called, you know, I happened to call in and get a quote. And I saw it was so close to the stop, I said, screw it, I just got out, right? Well, 54.78 was the high of the stock, and it went down to single digits because, yeah, it doesn't matter why, but they were cooking the books and they got caught and they got a lot of trouble. And, you know, somebody knew something based on the technical analysis and all. Anyway, my father, God rest his soul, he used to every family gathering. Remember that Dell trade? So anyway, this was from, now this is a newer chart. You can see 29.15 drawdown there, and then it came back 18.60 of that. And I'm not sure the KGC going to make new highs. This is an older chart, I need to update. But the point is, if you're going to ride out these longer term trends, you have to be willing to deal with some of these open profit drawdowns. And as I've said ad nauseum, Richard Dennis was okay with open profit drawdowns with the turtles. Now, if you had an open loss, you should have gotten out. He wasn't too keen on that. But it comes with the territory. One way to adjust for this is that we're taking the partial profit, so we only have one half the shares. Keep in mind, though, once this stock doubles like this one did, okay, you have a lot more on as far as open exposure in margin. That's something I've never adjusted for, because I feel like we take care of that earlier on in the trade, and then this just comes with the territory. And yeah, these drawdowns can be pretty nasty, and that's why you got to be careful when you're seeing these five figure swings, and sometimes a little bit bigger than that, in your trading account, especially a little bit more for bigger accounts, obviously. And it's you can't get too excited one way or the other. That's where you can't annualize, okay? You know, because you have that five-figure day and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Well, keep in mind that you're going to have some similar losses, and net overall, if you are having those big days, you should do fine longer term. But yeah, these are fairly substantial drawdowns. It comes with the territory. And if I could tell you what I go through, what I've learned, what I feel, my trials and tribulations, then maybe you could feel a little bit normal, more normal when you're going through it, okay? And you know, from a psychological standpoint, that was really good with me, for me too. You know, it's I remember one day I was working with this one particular trader, and he said, "You sound a little low." I was like, "Ah, yeah, I'm bummed out. I lost a bunch of money today." He goes, "Well, stop right there." He goes, "That's you know," it's like, "I don't know what's wrong with me." And he's like, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, I did lose some money." He's like, "Well, stop right there." So you're going to feel bad when you lose money. In fact, I learned later on from a neurological standpoint, you're going to feel twice as bad emotionally wise. Okay, the emotions are going to be twice as big as they are when you win money. And that's all part of the gambler's ruin. Okay, if you think about that, and there's been some articles, I can't think of them on the top of my head. I think Andy Duke referenced one of them. I can't think of the gentleman's name, but he wrote a pretty good article on gambler's ruin. It had nothing to do with trading. And his point was that you're chasing that high. If you get one happy point for a win and two negative points for a lose, okay, you start adding that up. And before you know it, you have a negative downward spiral. I talked about that. And I think it was Trading Full Circle course. I went into that. And I did a little graph about win, lose, win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. And it can be a downward spiral. And it's the managing of expectations that's hard for everyone in this business. And believe me, it's hard for me too, okay? I know some other people on the surface that don't seem to be too emotional, but I'd be willing to bet deep down they probably are. Anyway, so decent open profits there, but yeah, it happens. It comes with the territory. You're going to have some open drawdowns along the way. Just real quick, I threw this in last minute. This is Landry 100, and it's speculation is still alive and well, which is kind of shocking to me, and it's kind of interesting. I didn't have time to put the pie chart together this morning, but I'll put it together probably tomorrow. And I'll post it in Facebook. I'll also post it in my Substack group to show you where everything's stacking up. And it was kind of interesting. It's like the golds are shrinking, the amount of golds are shrinking. And now silver's banging out some new highs. So like silver's and gold, silver and gold, a little Burl Ives sneaking out of me, are beginning to increase once again. So all those gold stocks were looking a little iffy for a while, but now they're coming back nicely. So if you look at some of the gains in here, and again, all of these were bought at brand new highs. That was bought back in, or so to speak, bought. This is a hypothetical portfolio. This isn't real money. Although I did take some of these trades as an experiment a while back, and it does work, but you really need a big representative sample. And I don't know if Jeff's in here today or not, but he knows a lot more about statistics than I do. And I'm not sure that statistics will work. You know, what's the old saying? Statistics are worthless. 75.3% of all people know that. But the markets aren't normally distributed, meaning that statistics don't work in markets. Every now and then, there's certain things you could use statistics for to help you out, like statistical volatility, which is also historical volatility, which I have plotted right there. But you got to be really careful with statistics, again, because markets aren't normally distributed. And the fact that the markets aren't normally distributed is actually something we use to our advantage, because we're hunting that outlier. We're hunting that fat tail. And years ago, I had a CTA friend, commodity trading advisor friend, and he pointed out, he goes, "Yeah, we're hunting that outlier." And that's where our I want to say cheese is made or whatever. I forget the term he used. But anyway, 584% so far. And I zoomed in on these, or as much as could be zoomed in. And you could see back in April, and going all the way back to March. Look, that's TFPM. We're long that one. One thing this list does, and look, we're long KGC. One thing this list does do, which I think is brilliant, if I say so myself, is that it provides me with with some really great momentum stocks to pay attention to, okay? So those gold stocks, when did those gold stocks go in here? Let's find them again. TFPM went in March, okay? Where did we get long? I think April or May. And then where's the other one? KGC, if I can find it, bear with me. Right here. That went in January, okay? Now, we didn't get long that until a few months later. But as you can see, it gets these stocks on your radar for when they do set up and give you a chance to jump on. Now, just to close the loop, this is 100 stocks. It works with 100 stocks. Now, I will fill up slots. I have an article on how this list is created. I'll give you my formulas and everything. But if when the market starts getting a little iffy, like not that long ago, I was down to maybe 90 slots instead of 100. So cash is treated as an asset class. And as I've said 1,000 times, I've done this many, many, many years ago, and I quit because they changed the software on me. And so now it's like I gave up on it. It was choppy and all at the time. So I just kind of gave up on it. I wish it wouldn't have. But this time I vow to keep it going. And it's been a wonderful thing for me. I think it'd be tough. You know, I had a money manager approach me years ago, super nice guy. And I don't want to say his name because I don't know if it's going to help or hurt his business because he's talking to me. And he was going to try to trade this list. And we were going through a choppy period, and it was hard to, the volatility was tough. And so I think it'd be a tough thing to do. But I think once you've got all your stocks established, then it's something that could definitely be done. Yeah, it'd be zigs and zags, but sometimes you might take a 600. We had like one, I think, came out 17,000% gain. Okay, that's the outlier that you need. But in between that big outlier, there was a lot of losing time, a lot of dead time. So if you're a money manager, and I'm selling myself short here, but if you're a money manager, it'd be kind of tough to ride out some of those dead times when you've got clients breathing down your neck expecting you to pull a paycheck out of the market. And then, of course, they quit right before you catch that 17,000% gain. Or 1,700%. Anyway, I left this in before we get into crypto. And I put this up on X, and I also shared it, I believe, in my Facebook group. It's always darkest right before it gets more dark, okay? Now, I know it's bad English, but I like the way it sounds, okay? And so it was more dark at, what, 92,008? Where's Bitcoin now? Bitcoin is, drum roll, please, 92,000. Okay, so it really didn't get much darker. But it did drop to an 80,000, almost dropped to 79,000, okay, or almost dropped below 80,000. And I wouldn't call a bottom there yet. We'll get to Bitcoin in 1 second. But don't try to catch a falling knife. When this thing was at, I forget where it was, I want to say it was probably just under 100K. One of my buddies in the gym who has a lot of Bitcoin, I don't know what percentage of Bitcoin to his overall portfolio, but if he has only 10% in Bitcoin, this mofo is worth a fortune. I have a feeling 10% of his portfolio. I have a feeling he has a lot more than 10% of his portfolio in it. I think he's making a big bet, and he might be right, but he's awfully early. Anyway, speaking of crypto, let's shift over to crypto. Okay, we've got a few questions coming in. Let me get to those real quick. Let me get the screen shared while we're waiting on this. PL, enter today. I know I'm early. Your thoughts, please. Oh, no problem. Yeah. I'd rather you bring them in early because it seems like everybody tries to jam them at the end. Also, with the stocks, I find that since the Facebook group has been started, we don't get as many questions because we're handling them in the Facebook group. I'm long this one pair here. I got in here looking for a 20% gain, and knock on wood, got it the next day or later that day. And we're going to see what happens. But there's really not a lot to do in crypto. Once crypto picks up again, I'll start talking more about it. As I preach each week, your bellwether here is going to be the Bitcoin. I sound like the old people. The Bitcoin. Let's see if we could do this real quick. So you've got a lot of Landry Light in Bitcoin to the downside, and until it hits that 30 EMA, which doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of the run. Well, let's take a look at that real quick. Okay, so look at your Landry Light. We have 30, hard for me to read, 38 days or 36 days? 36 days of downside Landry Light, meaning that the highs are less than the moving average. And now looks like we're getting thwarted right around that moving average. So I would stay away from Bitcoin for now. Longer term, I still think it could be fantastic, but that's confusing the issue with facts. It seems like every time it gets well over 100K, some magical supply enters the market. I think early adopters are bailing out. But anyway, when Bitcoin's doing well as a bellwether, sometimes you can just buy the pairs that are going up, and that's exactly what I do. I know earlier I said I wasn't a breakout trader, but there are a few caveats to that. There are a few times where you can be a breakout trader. The crypto, or crypto, I should say, has a short bull bear cycle. This bear cycle has been a little longer. My Kunash just slipped out and said bear. This bear cycle has been a little longer than normal, than what we normally experience. But the beauty of it is sometimes these cycles are so quick, you can catch the next wave 6 or 8 weeks out, okay? Whereas if you're following stocks, which I think is where the real money is to be made longer term, and I firmly believe that, you, as you just saw, it might take weeks and sometimes months to catch the good cycles and everything else. But once you get in a solid cycle, it really pays off. That last run for May was fantastic. A little bit tougher now. Markets chopping back and forth. We're working on it, okay? Maybe biotechnology is going to give us a leg out on this, so to speak. Ethereum has been just like Bitcoin. It came up and touched the 30. I wouldn't get too excited about that. That's still looking pretty ugly. As I've said 1,001 times, maybe 1,002, sometimes it let Bitcoin be your bellwether. You could just come in and buy these pairs that are going straight up. For instance, this X and Y. That's a little too ludicrous, but like you could maybe, sometimes these things are banging out brand new highs. You could just come in here and buy them. Okay. Let's see. Here's another one. That one's not too exciting. So the X and Y is up 281%. Let's see where that goes. Okay. So nothing here is really catching my eye. Most of these are below the, some of those are stocks too. Most of these are below the 30 EMA. So there's nothing to do. Any papers you guys want to look at, I'd be happy to do that. Okay, all right, let's shift gears and get the stocks real quick. Let's take a look at the P's. S&P 500, a little bit of an opening gap reversal today, but well off its worst levels. One thing I've been noticing intraday is that the market takes off, comes in. So it's been with what some people call like railroad tracks, you know, back and forth. And that tells me intraday, and I think that's a microcosm of what's going on, bigger picture, is everybody's kind of fighting it out at this juncture, okay? Now, one thing you need to do is realize that we're not too far away from all-time high. So let me just digress for 1 second and take a look at the TFM 10% system. So right now, we're right at all-time highs on a weekly basis. That doesn't make sense. I guess on a calendar weekly basis. But we're within 5% of all-time highs. That's the green zone hit. The green zone is percent of close for the 50-week closing high. Okay? So we're right at the all-time highs based on this. We're a little bit shy on the daily chart based on how the closes are calculated on this calendar versus rolling chart. So tomorrow, that number will be more reflective of where we are. But the bottom line is, not to digress too far, as long as you're in the green zone, it's kind of like, don't worry, be happy. This kind of this light pink zone is be concerned. And then the sell signal would be below the 50-week moving average and below into the hot pink zone, which is a 10% or more drop. So the last sell was way back here, okay? The buy would have been right here on this day here or this week here. And so far, that's been a pretty good run from there. All right, let's get back to stocks. And I'll bang this out pretty quick. All right, S&P, we just covered, stalling a little shy of its prior highs in here. Now, on a daily basis, the close would be right there. That would be an all-time closing high. A little concerned about the fact that you got a shoulder, you got a head, you got a possible another shoulder or what's called a complex head and shoulder top. Now, keep in mind, I don't trade directly off of classical technical analysis. I do pay attention to it. I don't look at all classical technical analysis because some of it I really can't wrap my head around. A head and shoulders sounds a little obscure, but you can kind of walk through it, okay? So market makes a new high, and then it makes another new high, and then people feel like, oh man, I should have gotten in, and so maybe they chase it higher, it starts coming back in, okay? And they're thinking, okay, this is my chance to buy the dip. So they buy the dip and then it stalls short of that prior high. It didn't quite get there. So there's a lot more to it than that, but that's kind of the gist of it. And that's kind of how a market could top out with like a head and shoulder top. Now, keep in mind that looks like YouTube is way behind. I don't know what's going on there. Keep in mind that you don't want to try to trade directly off of this bigger picture technical analysis, but you want to pay attention to it. And I wouldn't call a top based just on this. I'd feel a lot better if we made some new highs to negate the pattern. Now, sometimes, and what's his name? Vance, or can't think of his name on the top of my head, but he called the Hound of the Baskervilles. And I remember I was trading commodities back then, and coffee was the head and shoulders top, and it went straight up. Sometimes you have this toppy looking formation and the market goes straight up in spite of it. So this doesn't guarantee anything. It's just something that we need to pay attention to. Net price movement's important too. You can see we're here. It'd go back a few months and we were here, okay, or at least 1 month. So we haven't made much forward progress based on that. But we're back above moving averages and we're getting ready to go back to bow tie uptrend proper order. So that's a positive. Did it for the NASDAQ, a little bit further away from its all-time highs, but it's doing okay. Rusty came back with a vengeance, and wow, look at that. I didn't realize we were that high today on the Rusty. So that's all-time highs we could hold here, okay? This is huge because I've been a little bearish lately, bearish, as you know. And that's because we were rolling over and we were below the moving averages and it was starting to look a little ugly. A lot of sectors look ugly still. And the Rusty has just lagged forever, but look at what's happened over the last couple of weeks. The Rusty is now starting to wake up. I think that's huge because those are the small cap stocks, the big cap stocks, the Nvidias of the world, they had their run, okay? Maybe it's time for the small guys to jump on board. So that's very exciting to see that happening today. A lot of areas, still a questionable at best, a lot of bow ties to the downside, that's cybersecurity, bots and AI. Well, today, notwithstanding, look at today's action, okay? So it was looking kind of iffy, and then now all of a sudden, beginning to take off. So that's a positive, another positive development there. Internet, none of those areas kind of topped out. You can see went all the way down to the 200-day moving average, kind of a sloppy bow tie, but a bow tie nonetheless at a downside. It sold off hard out of that, retraced it back up a little. That's looking pretty ugly. To the upside, gold stocks, not too far away from all-time highs. Yeah, they have a little bit of a double top in the works, but one big update would negate that. Looks like the longer-term trend's intact and so forth, trying to rally out of a deep pullback. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Broker-dealer, to my surprise, it dropped out of the range, and now it's beginning to take off. Now, I wouldn't trade off of this, but it will test out, okay, as a general statement. When a market breaks down out of a range and then comes out the top of the range, if you think about that from a psychological standpoint, that's the point I was trying to make earlier about head and shoulder tops. As long as you can wrap your head around it from a psychological standpoint, conceptually correct standpoint, to borrow a term from Larry Connors, then you could use it, okay? So in this case, you've got a base, it breaks down. You're like, aha, we got overhead supply. Everybody who bought in the base is a hurt and pup. Psychologically, that makes sense. But when it comes back through the base, okay, anybody who shorted it is now trapped on the wrong side of the market. So make sure when you're looking at the markets, you can wrap your head about what's going on from a technical analysis standpoint. Biotech, look at that. Biotech's doing really well in here. And we're just off of all-time highs. And that's why we're seeing so many biotechs in the Landry 100. Back to the downside, software, so far just retracing. That's looking pretty ugly. But a lot of these areas that are looking ugly, with today's action at least, have certainly improved. Defense, not so hot, right? We got stopped out of the defense stock a couple of months ago. What happened? Well, defense is beginning to tank a little bit. Was that a pun? Yeah, it's bombing. Anyway, you can see a big rally today. I wouldn't rush out and buy it. Still looks toppy. A lot of areas, again, look toppy. Take a look at transport, though. Look at that. Just caught my eye yesterday, beginning to break out, getting out of this stupid range it's been in. That's a good thing. Dow Theory uses the transports. I don't really care too much about them other than it's just another sector to pay attention to. Oil service, look at that. Bam, breaking out to brand new highs, a brand new multi-year high. Still has its work cut out for it. Lots and lots of overhead supply, but certainly improving. Nonetheless, major drugs have so far just pulled back a little bit. They've been on a tear as of late. That's looking fantastic. Silver pulling back a little. Nice little breakout there. Remains intact. All-time high. So far pulling back. That's still bullish. Semiconductors coming in a little bit, but they were almost all-time highs just yesterday. So kind of was getting ugly, okay, and then it begins to take off a little bit. So sometimes it's good not to get too anxious when you see things sort of coming to an end, okay? Pay attention, and if you start seeing some setups you really like, by all means, take them. But you don't want to get too bearish too fast when it comes to markets, or too bullish too fast, too. You want to make sure there's plenty of signs. Financials have looked really toppy. They still look toppy to me, but we're not too far away from all-time highs. So if we can bang out all-time highs, then all of that gets reset. So the point I'm making is be cautious. Don't get too aggressive until the market tips its hand, so to speak. Back to the upside, take a look at health services, healthcare. You can see so far just pull it back, looking pretty darn good. We could see some health service stocks set up today based on this and recent action. Metals and mining, kind of interesting. They looked really ugly not too long ago when they took out that pullback low. I was very concerned, but 2 days later they're back above it, and so far, knock on wood, we're back above the moving averages. So point I'm making is it's mixed out there. Earlier today and maybe yesterday, it might not have been, I don't want to say I'm bullish now, but there's certainly some bullish developments. Check back often, okay? If we can hold brand new highs in the rusty, if the P's can get a little closer to their old highs, if the transports can keep doing what they're doing, and oil service and healthcare and drugs and biotech and some of these smaller cap areas as signified by the Russell 2000, can start joining in the party to the upside at least, then maybe we might be okay. But I'm not going to get too excited about the markets just yet. But I let everything unfold on a setup by setup basis. All right, let's take a look at PL for Charles. Okay, so you said you went long yesterday. I would not have gone long this stock simply because it's no structure for me. Now, this was probably on the Landry list. If you go back and look at the service archives on 10-16, I'd be willing to bet that was probably on the Landry list then as a TKO. That looked a little bit better than it does now. Okay, so yeah, you got kind of a TKO type of setup, a pullback. That looks pretty interesting. Then let's look what happens. Okay, now you are, count the number of days from the old high. So you're a bunch. Let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You're probably 30 or 40 days from the old highs. The old high was what? October 8th. Okay, so that's November, December. That's 2 months ago. So usually you don't want to see a stock pull back for 2 months. Okay, ideally 7 or 8 days, sometimes a little bit more in the pullback. But if you go back and look at every one of those stocks I talked about, just like KYTX might be one of them. Let's see. No, was that it? Katos might be one. If you go back and look at the original trades, they only pull back a few days, okay? And I forget exactly where each one was, but you can go back and look at those archives or the rewind the presentation if you're watching recording. But go back and look at those for the type of pullbacks I like. So I would not have taken that trade. It's just, it's nothing there for me. If anything, it looked like it was in trouble yesterday. So just honor your stops just in case. I mean, you know, kudos for making money. Maybe take some partial profits and trail that stop higher on the remainder on that. All right, any more? All right, going once, going twice. Well, actually, I want to thank everybody for attending today. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules. Anything unanswered, Dave at DaveLandry.com. I appreciate it very much. Everybody have a great weekend. And to all my Facebook peeps, probably grab some lunch, and then I'll see you there in a little while. And, of course, may the trend be with you. Thank you so much. You're welcome.